Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, please direct your attention there. Proverbs 16, 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I'm going to teach on this subject, a really, really interesting Bible study that I think will help you on this subject, impacting the health of those around you, impacting the health of those around you. Heavenly Father, give us some wisdom tonight. Lord, there's not much to brag about in this world. It just seems like it's getting to be a more and more unpleasant place to live, especially if you're a Christian. Lord, we're reminded that we're pilgrims. I guess maybe we're not supposed to feel at home. But Lord, this world's getting more caustic. It seems like it's getting more cruel. It seems like people are just, Lord, seems to be the purpose of many in this world just to live, to try to make everyone around them miserable. Lord, we ought to have a different view as Christians. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to learn some things from the Bible tonight that will help us to have a positive impact on those around us. I believe what we learn tonight, if we apply it correctly, will directly influence other members of our family. It'll directly influence the people to whom we minister to in the various ministries around here. It'll affect the folks that we work with. And Lord, I think that probably ought to be what our goal is, to try to be a positive influence in a very negative world. So help us as we study the Bible and learn some Bible principles tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, with spring break, it's good to see our master's clubs are up here. Normally they would be meeting, but our leaders and our young people, we've brought everyone into the auditorium during spring break so we could give everyone kind of just a week off and give the leaders a little bit of a breath. Let me say this. We pray for you leaders and you workers up here in the auditorium. We keep you in our hearts and in our minds. So even though you may think that you're the forgotten crew downstairs, we don't pass up hardly a Wednesday where you're not mentioned from the pulpit, and we're encouraged to pray for you. And usually right now, while I was praying for the service, I'm usually praying for you also. Sometimes that's too late. You're already tied up or have been locked in a closet by the children or whatever else they do to you. But we pray anyway that maybe you'll escape and be okay, but We do thank God for what you're doing down there, impacting the health of those around you. Let me just say this, a couple words of introduction. I care about the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. My job, my specific job, is to, I think, have the watch care, or to be specifically concerned about you spiritually. But let me just say this also, if you end up in the hospital, I'm the guy that's going to come see you. And I am concerned about the health of the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray for your health. One of the things that I do when I go through our prayer list is pray for the health of our members, not just those that are facing health problems, but those who are not. Because you know what, folks? Who of us knows what we're going to be facing or what we could be facing in just a few weeks? We don't know, so I want to pray for all of you. I was going to preach on doing positive things to impact your own health, and then when I looked at what I eat and my revulsion against exercise, I just was too convicted to really my, you know, stubbornness concerning not giving up coffee and the fact that I've eaten about 16 candy bars this week and all of that, just, I really don't, you know, if you're not going to live it, don't preach it, amen? So, now, we're not going to talk a whole lot about this, but let me just say a few words. You know I'm not a health nut, health food nut. I probably should be. I'm a nut, but I'm just not that kind of a nut. But let me just remind all of us of this. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to first preface what I'm going to say by saying this. All sickness is not connected with sin, or all sickness is not connected with neglectfulness on our part. And I challenge those in the charismatic movement that wants to talk about and equate every time someone has a physical need with a demonic possession or unconfessed sin. That's unfair and it's unscriptural. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He had a physical ailment. He went and approached God three times about it, and God does not always heal. He didn't heal Paul. He told him, you know what? I give some people some things so that they will become more reliant upon my grace. And folks, all of us need sometimes a thorn of some kind, because lest we be lifted up. And that's just the truth. There's some things God brings into our lives just to kind of humble us a little bit. Keep us humble a little bit. Some of you that are younger in the faith, and some of you the younger that haven't been down the road very long, you know, you want to quickly judge everyone. You know, you're going to go through some things in your life too. And you're going to have some battles, and you're going to have some times where you wonder which way's up and what in the world happened. And at that time in your life, you're going to be a little more patient with people than you are right now. But not all sicknesses is a sign of somebody that's not right with God, or somebody that has not properly taken care of themselves. Sometimes it's allowed in the plan of God to work His perfect will in our lives. But I do feel like that all of us ought to probably back up and realize that our body is the temple of God, and we ought to care for it as we would care for the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I again, I'm not going to get on this very long, but you know, if I, through poor oversight, allowed the facilities here to become unkept and filthy and uncared for, I would begin to become criticized, and no doubt someone sooner or later would say, I can't believe they're allowing the house of God to look that way. But the honest truth is, this is not the house of God. Your body is the house of God. And it's amazing how concerned we'll get about a building that doesn't house God, and how we oftentimes let go what does house God. And folks, listen to me. There's a lot of things that factor in, genetics and all kinds of things. But I do think that we ought to care for the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Young people, I'm going to say one or two more things, and then we'll move on. But you need to take care of your body. Children, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. Teenagers, listen to me. I know that you have the youth and zeal and strength to seemingly get by with not properly fueling and caring for your body, but it will catch up with you. And what you ought to do is be very careful. Children, when your parents tell you to eat your vegetables, eat your vegetables. Now, if they try to get you to eat weeds, then you ought to refuse to do that. So if they bring peas, those are weeds. But if they bring vegetables, then you ought to eat your vegetables. You ought to take care of yourself. Say, Brother Jerry, I don't want to always take a bath. Well, you want to keep the temple of God clean. It's about time you hit 10, 11, 12. You ought to discover something called Right Guard. You know why? Because the temple of God ought to smell good. That's why. Honestly. And I think we ought to be careful, and we ought to be careful what we put on our bodies. I know this isn't a popular subject, but I think it is a little bit of a hypocrisy when we want to condemn smoking, chewing, and drinking, but we want to practice gluttony. And the Bible has verses to say about that. And I do think we ought to take proper care of the temple of God. Again, this is spoken by someone who's eaten 16 candy bars in the last 3 days. I'm kidding about that. It's just that those kids brought all those candy bars. I've got to do something with them. But I'm not going to go into it. I kid a lot about it. But at the same time, you know something? I need to care for my body. You know, listen, I want to serve God for a long time. I want to serve God for a long time. And if providentially God allows something to affect my health, that's one thing. If I sabotage my health, that's something else. And so think about those things. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about that, even though I said I wasn't. I have spent the last 8 minutes doing it. But I want to direct your attention to scriptures that are powerful. Because I can do some things, Brother Bud, that would adversely affect my own health. I could personally make the decision to sabotage my health. But I will tell you that, by the way, all of you ought to walk the same amount of miles every day that Bud Bovenschind is, and you'd be surprised how good a shape you'd be in. Although I'm sure on Wednesday nights you don't feel like you're in very good shape. But here's what I want to teach you tonight. Now let's put our thinking caps on. Let's focus in. Do you know that you can do things to impact your health in a negative way, but also you can do things, the Bible teaches us you can do things and I can do things that negatively impact people around us, or maybe positively impact the health of those around us. You mean the physical health, Brother Jerry? I'm talking about the physical health. I want you ladies to listen very carefully to me, because I believe that ladies, one of your responsibilities is to set the atmosphere of the home. And I'm going to give you some things that will be very helpful to you. I think that there's, and I'll show you, it's just Bible. You can argue it if you want, or you can cross those verses out or tear those pages out or decide you're not going to believe it. But it's Bible is what I'm going to share with you. And I think we got to be careful. I think we ought to be more responsible than we are in our treatment of each other. I think we ought to be more careful than a lot of times we are in our treatment of each other. Even amongst the church family, where I understand, you know what, there's a certain level of intimacy and we get to know each other, and there's a certain level of and there ought to be amongst the family. But even amongst family, we ought to be careful, because you can do some things, if you're not careful, that have a negative effect. I'm talking about husbands negatively affecting the health of their wives, wives negatively affecting the health of their husbands, parents negatively affecting the health of their children, children negatively affecting the health of their parents. I'm talking about Sunday school team. I'm talking about our staff around here. I'm talking about our school staff. I'm talking about how we treat people. I'm talking about very practical things here. So listen up very carefully as we teach the Bible. Proverbs 16:24 says this, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb." I love that. "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and H-E-A-L-T-H, health to the bones." You say, what is the meaning of that word health? It means exactly what it says, health to the bones. You'll notice the phrase bones mentioned a lot. Folks, bones, that your bone and your bone structure is what produces, and the marrow in your bones is what produces the very life-giving substance that your body lives on. And when you have a problems in your bones, you have serious problems. And so when it talks about this, it's talking about the deepest rooted source of your physical health. That's what the bones represent here. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. I can relate to that. Some of you kids that have never had the real thing, and I know you've had honey and it's real honey, but have you ever had it in the comb? My goodness sakes, is that stuff good? I mean, drive around if you get an opportunity. Just listen, don't go to Walmart and get it. Find somebody that carry some bees or keep some bees, and they've got a little stand out in front of their house and some jars and some honeycombs and a little box where you leave the money, and if they can still do that nowadays, and get you the real stuff. There's something great about that. Every once in a while, when we were kids, Dad would bring home from work, from somebody at work, a big container of honey, and it would have the comb in it. My goodness sakes, boy, that was a treat. Well, folks, pleasant words are like that too. Pleasant words are an unexpected treat. Pleasant words do some things to those that we say them to. Pleasant words, Bible says, first of all, are sweet to the soul. Now remember, we are a triune creature. We have body, soul, and spirit. The spirit is reborn in us. It's the part of us that communicate with God. And then the soul is that part of us that lives forever, ever. It is the seat of the emotions, the seat of the intellect. I believe it's a combination of the mind and the heart. I think the mind and the heart make up the soul. Whenever you see heart mentioned in the Bible, heart matters or mind matters. You're talking about the soul of an individual. Those two things make up the soul of a man. And then you have the physical body. So pleasant words affect your soul, which means it affects your mind and it affects your heart, your emotions. And it also affects your body. Now think about that. I guarantee you, we'll never get a study made on it, but if we could, I guarantee you, if you went around and you took 10 people that were raised in a home where pleasant words reigned, and I don't mean that parents never corrected what needed to be corrected. I don't mean parents never had a serious talk. And you know what, kids, don't turn this around on mom and dad. You're killing me. I'm going to end up with cancer because you're correcting me. No, that's not going to fly, all right? You're not being very pleasant. Well, you haven't taken out the trash in 3 weeks, so guess what? They're not going to be very pleasant. But I know things need to be dealt with. And parents, let me say this. When something needs to be dealt with, stop what you're doing. Deal with the situation. Finalize it. Do what has to be done and then move on. But don't let it affect your home for an hour or an evening or a week. Get it done and then get back on track. Your home ought to be a place where pleasant words are spoken. You know what? Blessed Old Baptist Church ought to be a place where people come and hear a lot of pleasant words. I mean, folks, find something positive to say. I mean, it's a lot better than finding something negative to say. I mean, don't walk up to somebody and just purposely find something that you are going to say to them that you know is unpleasant. And by the way, most of the time, if it's unpleasant, it's unnecessary. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. And I'm telling you, your words have power. Your words have power. But if you could take 10 kids that were raised in negative homes where there is a lot of fighting and hollering and bickering and putting down and negativity, and you find me 10 kids that were raised in homes where, you know what, the parents were pleasant to each other and pleasant to the kids and a lot of encouraging things, I'm telling you, not only are they going to be different in their soul, but they're going to be different physically. And that's Bible. You know what? Sometimes we just need to clean up our act a little bit. Amen? Let's be careful. I wonder sometimes if we just attached a recorder to the side of us and taped ourselves for a couple of days in our interaction with our children and interaction with our spouse and interaction around the church, and we listened back to that, whether it would convict us and maybe cause us to pause and say, you know what? Folks, sometimes it's not even the words, it's the tone of the words. You notice it says words there, but it doesn't just use the word, it says pleasant, and sometimes it's the tone of the words. And so, let me just say, number one, we're going to cover seven things, so I got to move quickly, but number one, just write this down, put this in your heart, put this in your mind. Listen, use pleasant words and use them plentifully because they are sweetness to the people's soul around you and it is health to their bones. So be pleasant. Be pleasant. Amen? Number two, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. Number two, let me give you this. First of all, share pleasant words. Share pleasant words. Number two, make people smile, make them happy. That's your assignment for this week, all right? Make people smile, make people happy. Say why? Because Proverbs 17, verse 22 says this, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Medicine affects your body. Medicine affects your physical health. Medicine helps you defeat disease, defeat viruses, defeat germs, defeat things that have gotten into your infections. And by the way, there's study after study after study after this. You know, I don't really care if the world confirms what the Bible says because it doesn't make any less true, but I guarantee you the world in the medical field has confirmed this a gazillion times. One of the things, those of you that help sometimes and you help with hospital visits around here, you go see people in the hospital, always remember this. Always remember this. You need to go in there with a merry heart, and you need to go in there and make an attempt to help them have a merry heart. You'll do more for someone who's sick by uplifting their spirits than anything you can probably possibly do. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I can't do the medical end of it, but I can help their spirit. I know when Ashley Nicholas attended our church and she was in the school and she came down with leukemia, one of the things the doctors were adamant about at Riley Hospital, and they would tell me to tell the people here and the young people going there that, yes, she needs visits, but she needs encouraging visits. She don't need somebody to go in her room and boo-hoo and cry, and that she needed somebody to walk in there, and she has to be concerned. And I'm not talking about being flippant about things. I'm not talking about sometimes folks don't use any wisdom at all. Be careful what you joke about. They're not having a good time. But you can still say encouraging, positive things and maybe tell a little bit of a funny story or something, I always, on hospital visits, and sometimes depending on the situation, I know it's always not always possible or even probably wise, but I always want to make them smile, and usually I feel like I've had a good, successful hospital visit if I've gotten them to laugh several times. And then, of course, pray with them. Share some verses and pray with them and try to lift them up. But make them smile. It does good like a medicine. Now, why don't we do this? Why don't we do it at home so we don't have to do it in the hospital? If it'll work in the hospital, work at the house. Work in the hospital, work in the Christian school. Monitors, listen to me. Stop snapping at the kids. I mean, don't just walk around like a snapping turtle. Honestly, you know, they get on my nerves. Well, then get your nerves saved. Like the rest of you, get your nerves saved. What do you mean they get on your nerves? They're kids. They're supposed to get on your nerves. That's their mission in life, you know. They aren't being successful if they're not doing that. I mean that. Teachers, listen, well, sometimes I can't help just coming in a bad... Yes, you can. You absolutely can. Don't give me that garbage. That's a bunch of psychobabble. You learned that from Dr. Phil. You didn't learn that from the Bible. Amen. You know, I don't always walk in here. Not everything's gone right at the house. Sometimes, you know, I've just had a big knockdown drag out with a wife because of her ridiculous, unreasonable demands. But I can still come in here and smile. If I can, you can, bless God. No, sometimes I go outside and we got a flat tire. Sometimes I wake up and I hear mooing and it sounds like it's really too close. It's really closer. And out in my yard, you know, trampling through my wife's flower beds and then, you know, chasing them down the asphalt road. And man alive, I say all 12 of the names of the disciples. And you see, that's what I do instead of cussing. I just, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know. And so I say, I mean, cows can drive you into unreasonable situations. But it does, listen, forget it. You see, some of you think that because somebody's happy all the time, it means they don't have a problem in the world. No, it's just that you know what, folks, listen. We've got to learn to keep our spirit, put our spirits under subjection. And you know what? I can listen, before I walk in this room, I'm going to impact 70 students and a staff. And you know what? They don't really want to hear how bad my day went or every problem I had or how I don't feel good. You know what? They need to be lifted up. They need to be encouraged. They need to be helped. So you know what you do? You set those things aside and you just go on for the Lord and you try to be a blessing, encouragement. And are you going to mess up? Yeah. Am I going to mess up? Yeah. But for the most part, let's do it right. Okay, Sunday school teachers. Man, are they excited to see you come in? They can't wait to see you walk in? Or are they like, I wonder what kind of mood he's going to be in or she's going to be in today? Bus workers. Listen to me, bus workers. Listen, some of you really need to listen to how you talk to your bus kids on the bus. And I'm very, very serious about this. Brother Jerry, you've been on my bus? No, but I've been on a bus. And I know what they can drive you to. But honestly, if you're always hollering and screaming and chewing out, listen, folks, listen, they get that at home. You need to find a more positive way to discipline and get attention and solve situations. And I know that things have to be dealt with. And I'm not telling you not to deal with situations, but I'm just telling you that if you're the only way you're keeping order is with a reign of terror, then you ought to recognize that, and you need to come let me help you or let somebody run the program for a while that knows how to do it without using that. Because, again, I don't think that's the way Christians ought to operate. Master's Club workers, I know what you go through. I really do. I've spent a lot of years, a lot of times in front of children's. You know, you come up to me and say, well, I had 47. I know. I've been there with more than that. But you know what? It's amazing. I don't understand why the kids are so negative. Well, maybe it's because you're negative. You know, listen, folks, I really believe that everything rises and falls on leadership. You walk in there with a smile on your face, and man, we are going to have a good time and a positiveness about you. It's infectious. It really is infectious. And so, listen, let's work hard at helping people produce a merry heart. I've got to hurry. Proverbs 15:30. This is a neat, I'm going to give you just a quick thing on this. Proverbs 15:30. I love this verse. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. That's talking about the soul again. You get a lot of verses in Proverbs that talk about how to help your soul and then how to help your body physically. And a good report maketh the bones fat. By the way, that's a good thing. It means healthy. It means prosperous. It means they're producing well. A good report, think about that. Now, children, look right up here. We just had report cards come out. Did you hurt your parents' health or help your parents' health? Some of you understanding why now your mom's been sick all week long, you know. It's not talking about just a report card. It's talking about a good report. A good report. You know what? Isn't that true? You know, one of the reasons that we have the missionary letters read here is to give the church a good report. When we come in on Sundays nights and we've had a good Sunday morning, you know why we give a good report? Because it's good for our souls and it's good for our bodies to hear something good. You know why I hate listening to Katie Couric? And all the other 30-minute anti-war propaganda shows we have on TV. Anti-patriotic shows we have on TV. You know, I get tired of that stuff. You know, when I buy USA Today, I just get the sports page out and read it. And you know why on the Sunday paper I've just about decided I'm just going to read the funnies and call it good? I mean, yeah. Amen. You know, after a while, folks, bad report, bad report, bad report, bad report, bad report, bad report. Brother Jerry, you can't live in a Pollyannish world where there's never going to be a bad report. There's never going to be a negative thing. I know. I'll trade my world and meet you halfway. Why don't you get out of your negative, critical world? I mean, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of good things going on around you. There was a preacher who's having problems in his church, and one of the criticisms he was telling me about, one of the criticisms his man, one of his men in the church gave, was the fact that he said, the preacher, when he gets up in the pulpit, he only shares positive things and he doesn't give a true balanced picture of what's happening in the church. The preacher told me that. He said the guy had it written, his grievances of what he didn't appreciate about his pastor. You know, feel free to turn that in any time. I got a special file in my office for that. It's about that round and lined with a white plastic bag. Amen. So, and one of the things he said, I said, you got to be kidding. I read it. He showed it to me. Pastor's too positive. He does not give a balanced view. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to come up here every Sunday, and I'm going to try to give you at least five bad things that have happened at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't want to leave out anything. You know what? That's carnal as all get out. I know there's negative things. I know that there's problems. I know that, listen, folks, I spent a lot of my time here as pastor dealing with problems. But I think you can still deal with I think you can deal with problems and still be a positive person. And by the way, if you're positive, you're going to be find out how much easier it is to deal with problems. And but listen to me, honestly, how about a good report? Hey, kids, when you jump in the car next Tuesday after school, how about a good report for a change? Hey, parents, why don't you share some good reports? I mean, folks, listen to me. This negativism and criticism and listen, I know, listen, it's reality. Not everything's going to go right. Not everything's going to go well. I don't even mind you pointing it out, but could you every once in a while just recognize that some things are going awfully well around here? I mean, some lives are really being changed and some people are getting saved and there's a lot of positive things and you can find them if you look for them too. And so just be careful because listen to me, and what I'm doing is, listen, I'm not saying this for this to help you. I'm talking about in your home. Do your kids hear constant negative reports, bad reports, or do they hear good reports? I mean, we ought to be praising the Lord a lot. We ought to be praising the Lord a lot. And so, young people, listen to me. Let me give you this, and all of us ought to do this. Live a life of good report. Because you know what? Everyone likes to hear a good report about you. Everyone likes to hear a good report about their children. Everybody likes to hear a good report about what's happening here at the church. And that's why we encourage you to do it. All of you that are involved in ministries away from here, something good and special happens. I want to know about it and I want to share it because you know what? It's good. It's healthy for our church. It's healthy for the church body to hear good reports. And let me just tell you how I feel about it. That man is absolutely wickedly wrong about his pastor. You know, it's not our job to show up, come up here and publicly air every negative thing that happens in a church. That's ridiculous. You know, go buy your tabloid papers if you have to have that. Honestly, go buy your tabloid papers if you got to have that. But I don't want it, I don't need it, and I don't want to know anything negative unless I have to know it. I don't want to know anything negative unless it directly relates to me and I have to be part of the solution. You don't have to tell me. If something negative happened and you fix it and it's good and it's fine and I don't need to know, then I'd just soon not know. Thank you very much. If I need to know, then tell me. But if I don't need to know, fine. And we are addicted to this stuff. I mean, I'm telling you, in this society, you share good news to somebody, and you know what? They'll sit there and nod their head and smile and be glad, and they won't go share it with another person. But if you share bad news with somebody, something negative, they'll stop the first 10 people they see, and they'll tell them the negative report. That's not healthy for that person you're talking to. That's not healthy for you, and it's not healthy for the body of Christ either. So let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity, the great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Now, some of you are going to criticize and negative talk your way right out of a good fundamental, independent fundamental Baptist church. You're just going to ride that negative critical hobby horse till you ride it right down the road. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, you need to get off that horse because you're going to destroy yourself and your family. You're not doing yourself any favors. I promise you it's true. Amen. Number four, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. Proverbs 14, verse 30. Let me just throw this in too. By the way, there's two different ways to get a good report to someone. I want to share this with you because I think it's just brilliant and it works. And so many of you work in ministries and work with children, work with teens, and work with adults. Let me just give you this. There's the direct compliment and the secondhand compliment, and you ought to use both of them. You know, sometimes we'll tell, let's say Brother Derek was a special blessing to me and he did something really was a blessing to me. So the direct compliment would be this, to go to him. This is what we ought to do most of the time. You know, we'll tell five other people about what a blessing somebody's been to us, but never tell that person. Now, that's not a bad thing, and I'll tell you why in a second, but I think there's a better thing. If he's been a special blessing to me or done something that... Then you know what? I ought to learn the attribute of gratitude. Not to pick up my cell phone or catch him at church real quick and say, hey, listen, what you did the other day, that was a blessing, brother. Thank you. God bless you. That encouraged my heart. But you know what? Sometimes it's nice to get secondhand compliments. If I go to Brother Jack and I say, Brother Jack, I'm going to tell you something. Your son-in-law was a real blessing to me the other day. I'm going to guess that Brother Jack's character is such that next time he sees Derek, he's going to say something like, let me tell you something. Were your ears burning the other day? No, why? Brother Jerry said something about you. Oh, no. Do I need to just apologize now? Or? He said, let me tell you what he said. You know, sometimes a secondhand compliment's a nice way to get a compliment. But a good report ought to be shared. Amen? Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Let me just throw this out to you. Never use the weapons of envy or jealousy. Never use the weapons of envy or jealousy. You hurt somebody when you use those weapons. You hurt them bad. You hurt them deeply. You hurt them physically. Little children, look up here. All you little children, look up here. Let me help you with something. Isn't it exciting to get something new? It really is. It's exciting to get something unexpected, a gift. It's not a sin to show it to your friends. Everybody that's excited about getting something new sometimes wants to show it to somebody. It is a bad thing to show it to them in such a way to try to make them jealous or envious. You know, you got a candy bar. You know they didn't get one. So, look what I got. Look what I got. You weren't sharing a blessing. Nor were you being a blessing. You were doing it for one reason. I got something you don't have. And you know what? That behavior, you say, well, Brother Jerry, the Bible says we still shouldn't be envious or jealous. And we shouldn't be. Nor should we tempt someone to be. And it isn't just little kids that play this game sometimes. Okay, listen very carefully. I had a young man several years ago come to me, and he was in college, and he was dating a gal, and we were talking about it, and he said, I said, do you think this is the one? He said, I don't know. And I said, what's the red flag? Is there a red flag? And he said, yeah. He said, she likes to play this jealousy game. And I said, will you take some advice? He said, yeah. I said, you ought to drop her now. Now, you don't have to do what I say, but if you're not willing to live with that for your lifetime, right. You ought to drop that now. Either decide that you can deal with it for a lifetime or drop it. Go find somebody else. Amen. You know, folks, when we play these little kid games, that's junior high stuff. That's elementary stuff. Give me a break. Amen. Play this in our marriages. Play this in our relationships. And all you're doing is hurting somebody, not only their heart, not only their soul, you're hurting them physically. You're physically hurting them. Yes, sir. So let's get past that stuff. Amen. I don't want my wife to ever have to, for one second, doubt my complete 100% loyalty to her. And by the way, she has it. If there was something that I was doing that unawares doing that bothered her, I would not try to change her. I would change me, because I am not doing the envy jealousy thing, and that's not right. That's not how you treat people you love. It's not how you treat them. Okay, by the way, be even careful in working with children, groups of children. Be careful in the way you treat groups of children. I mean this. I'll tell you, if I could. And I don't have a lot of positive things, but I'm just telling you, if there's one thing I wish I could get to everybody that interacts with our young people around here, is an even-handedness. I'm 100% for every kid, 100% for every family, 100% for every teenager here. I don't have favorites and non-favorites, or kids that I hope make it, kids that I hope not make it. Kids, listen, any bad thing happen to any kid here, I'll weep as hard over one as the other. And you may not believe that, but I'm telling you that that's the truth. And Sunday school teachers, you can't have favorites. School teachers, you can't have favorite monitors. You can't have favorites. Love them all. You know why? Because you're creating an atmosphere of envy and jealousy when you create that, and that's not a healthy thing. Okay, let's move on. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Just a few more minutes. We'll cover these last, I think, in a fairly good speed. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the... You've got to underline this, children, in your Bibles. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12, 25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it what? Isn't that an amazing verse? Proverbs 12, 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Talking about the heart, it's talking about the soul of a person. But a good word maketh it glad. So heaviness. What's it talking about? But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Children, be wise. Make wise decisions. A wise son maketh a glad father and a glad mother. A foolish son, the Bible says specifically, is the heaviness of the mother. Now, I guarantee you, there's ladies in this room right now that's carrying a heaviness because one or more of their children is making unwise decisions. You say, well, get over it, Mom. The Bible doesn't say she can get over it. You're supposed to change your conduct. She can't help it. She's Mom. And this heaviness isn't just a heaviness. If you look that word up, that affects the spirit and the soul. It affects the body. I talked to a brother up in Burn, Indiana. Pastors a church up there. And one of his children's out in the world and just breaking. He said to me, he said, Brother Jerry, my wife, I'm afraid it's going to kill her. Talked to another brother, him and his wife. Child's been on a 2-year out of God will tear. Talked to the husband here a while back, and he said, my wife has started listening to all the physical problems that she's developed in the last 2 years. And he said, I know she's grieving herself sick. Now, kids, you listen to me, and you look up here and listen to me. Why don't you make some wise decisions? Why don't you be a wise son? Why don't you be a wise... You know what? Your mama deserves better than that. Your daddy deserves better than that. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care who it hurts. That's a wicked, wicked, wicked way to look at life. Wicked, selfish way to look at life. It is. A lot of reasons to do right. But one of the reasons, one of my two reasons, sit right over here on the average Sunday. You know, life's hard enough. There's enough built-in heartaches for me not to make it any harder on Bob and Donna Ross than it already is. Life's hard enough. So I want them, and I don't always succeed, but I want them to look at my life and my decisions and be made glad and have that nourish them physically, nourish them mentally, nourish them spiritually, instead of damage them. Amen. Amen. Hey, Brother Jerry, I don't think that's the best reason in the world to do right. Well, I think it's a pretty doggone good one. May not be top of the list, may not be top of the top, but it's way up there somewhere. I mean, good night. Be wise. Make wise decisions. Do the right thing. Okay? You say, well, no, don't give me this wealth stuff. Mama's mama. Mama can't stop being mama. Mama can't help being mama. All right, you listening? Amen. Amen. Well, one of these days, normalcy of life happens. You're going to, if things go as normal, you're going to be standing beside a casket one of these days. And buddy, I've been there at those funerals. I've watched them throw themselves across there. I've watched them weep and beg for forgiveness and say they're sorry, but it's too late then. It's too late then, Brother Jack. It's too late. And I think the guilt comes from knowing that what they did with their life helped put them there earlier than they ought to be. Now, I know this is hard stuff, folks, and I'm not trying to personally hurt anybody. I'm just saying we need an old-fashioned revival. Whether you're 4 or 40, you ought to live in such a way that nourishes your parents and makes them proud of you and makes them physically and spiritually stronger and doesn't drain them out. Because I'm going to tell you, it's just a fact of life. You boys hearing me this? You hearing me? Okay. Everybody on this front row has got good mamas. Everybody in this church does. But I'm looking right at these 5 guys. Now, don't you be a burden to your mama. Don't you break your mama's heart. You got good mamas. They love you. You live your life in such a way so that you put a smile on their face and a bounce in their step in such a way where they'll irritate everybody in the church about always wanting to stop and tell the good reports about you.
honestly.
Well, this is important stuff. Let me say a word to the wives. Go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. It's just as true for the husbands. Let me just preface it by saying this, but I'm going to stay with what the Bible says here specifically in this verse, Proverbs 12, 4. Married couples, married partners, listen to what I'm going to say. Proverbs 12, 4 says this, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husbands, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." Go to Proverbs 31. Notice that word virtue. A virtuous woman is a crown. It doesn't say a virtuous woman crowns her husband. Just wanted to make sure don't you get out the frying pan when you get home and then swear later on you heard it from the preacher. You wanted to be you wanted to crown your husband. "She that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." A good marriage, I'm talking about two-way street here, folks. This isn't just for ladies, but a good marriage contributes both ways to the positive health of the other spouse. I promise you that's true. Verse 10 of Proverbs 31, we won't teach you the chapter. Let me just read a few verses about the husband and his relationship to her. "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." By the way, if your heart's good, your body's good. If your heart's worried and tormented, your body's tormented. I'm telling you, it's true. I worked with a guy, I won't even tell you where, because I don't want anybody to know. But I worked with a guy, not in a church here, but in a secular job. And every day he came to work, and he finally shared this with me one day. I was dealing with him about other things. And he said, "I can't leave my house without wondering whether or not my wife's going to pull something while I'm gone, whether she's going to be faithful to me." I watched that guy. He lived a tormented life. That's wicked. By the way, no wife ought to have to sit at home wondering whether or not her husband's being faithful. That's just wicked. It's wicked. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. If your heart's good, your body's good, so that he hath no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." That's what I'm going to try to do with my wife. I fall short. But every day I want to say, you know what, I want to do something good for her. I want to say something good to her. Man, I've been blessed. Then I blew it kind of a few minutes ago in the introduction. So, by the way, you know the only reason I can joke like that? Because it's so unreasonably impossible that it's funny. And that's what makes humor. Some of you couldn't joke like that. Listen, I'm not picking at you. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying, why don't you go home and just be good to each other? Just be good to each other. I mean, just be good to each other. There's a thousand different ways to be good to each other every day. Just be good to each other. Man, there's something sweet about that. Notice verse 23, guys. We ought to recognize this. "Her husband is known in the gates." Notice all these verses says she, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, she, and all of a sudden verse 23, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders." I thought we were talking about the virtuous woman. We are. She's the main reason he's sitting in the gates. She's the reason he's got the position. She's the reason he's accomplished what he's accomplished. Listen, ladies, I'm telling you. I know this is old-fashioned preaching, but some of us didn't jump on the women's lib wagon when it came through in the 70s. We just held on to our King James Bible and waved at it as it went by. Amen. Your job's not to go out and make yourself a success. Your job's to get in behind your husband and see that he's a success. Man, his number one cheerleader in the world ought to be you. Amen, amen, amen. That's good preaching. And it was good preaching in 1920, 1930, 1940, 1950, all the way up into this new millennium. Still good preaching. Amen. Are you listening to me? By the way, husbands, let's obey verse 28. "Her children rise up, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." Amen. Brother, you've been blessed with a good wife. I didn't say a perfect wife. No one has a perfect wife. If she was perfect, she wouldn't have chose you. Good thing she had a fault. That was your only chance, buddy. I said, temporary insanity, and she said yes, and everyone said, yeah. Hey, you know what? You ought to brag on your wife every time you get a chance. Remember what I said about, you know, direct and secondary, use them both. I guarantee you, everything I say about my wife gets back to her, bad or good. Isn't that good stuff? It's good stuff. Man, that's good stuff. Amen. Be virtuous. Ladies, be virtuous. Husbands, brag on your wives. Love your wives. Praise your wives. Don't be bitter against them, the Bible says. Amen. Let me give you the last one. I'll just take a minute on this, but go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Man, this is good. I hope you're enjoying this. Is Sister Will here tonight? She told me one time, and I got to tell her, I didn't get it till later. She says, you really like your own preaching. She told me that. Because I'll say, boy, this is good. She said, you really like your own preaching. And she said this. She was going out the door one day, and I thought, well, I do. I do. No, I'm not kidding. Any preacher that tells you no, I'm sharing with you one of the deep, dark secrets of the ministry. I can be listening to Lee Robertson and say, man, that's good stuff, but I could do better. He said, that's wicked. I know it is. No, I do. I'm dealing with it. I'm confronting it. I'm trying. But a preacher always looks up there and says, man, that's a good outline. I could do something with it. You're laughing because you know it's true down here. He won't look at me because he knows it. The whole time I'm teaching right now, he's like, you know, that's pretty good, but he should be saying it this way. Or, man, I know a better illustration for that. I mean, that's just preachers. I'm sorry. We're a mess, folks. We're a mess. But what I was going to tell her if she was here was, when I say, man, that's good, I'm not talking about my preaching. I'm talking about the truths are good. The truths are good. Jerry, why do you say something like that? So I can control to a certain extent what you're going to talk about this week. Amen. You know, if you're going to criticize anyway, I just like providing the material sometimes, you know. I like at least having some choice in the material, so. If you're not laughing, you ought to be. Even to fake, if you just do it to fake out everybody around you, you really ought to be laughing right now. Proverbs 4, verse 20. I'm going to get back on track here. My son, attend to my words and incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. By the way, that's not talking about Solomon, talking about his words. He was writing under the inspiration of God. He's talking about the words of God. I just got a, by the way, yesterday, me and my wife, about, oh, I don't know, middle of the morning, we went and seen Brother Estill in the morning. Left about the middle of the morning, drove up, spent a half day in Hammond at the pastor's school. Then this morning got up and drove back this morning just to get a little quick refresher, just a little pump there. And what was I going to say? Oh, I got to hear Tom Williams speak. Amen. Tom Williams got to speak. You got to read that book. I've mentioned it a couple times. I got to get copies for you, don't I? He's got a book he entitled Loving My Wife Back to Health. Did you get that? Loving My Wife Back to Health. Oh, you ought to get it. I'll get it for you. I'm going to get some copies. Are we going to get some copies for them? Amen. The two shall be one flesh. We're one. Why do I need a memory? She has one. Amen. Good preacher. I love it when the Bible works for me. Amen. Mrs. Williams got so deathly ill and they didn't expect her to live. Brother Tom Williams very wisely bought a little tape recorder and kept the Bible being read beside her bed 24 hours a day. He credits the Word of God for saving his wife's life. Amen. Amen. I know it's hard to give up your music, but I'm telling you, you'll feel better. You'll feel better. You just feel better. I'm not saying you have to listen to it 24 hours a day, but you know what? The more we listen to the Bible, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, we're going to be better. It's undeniable. I'm not going to take you. There's about 10, 12 verses I could take you to, but I promise you this is true. It's 20 after. We need to dismiss. I promise you this is true. You'll feel better. Let me help some of you. It'll help your spirit. It'll help your emotions. I'm going to help you with something here if you'll let me. Now, if you're determined to live in that little, you know, but I'm trying to help you. And you don't like where you're at. You don't want to be where you're at. I know you don't. But you know what? Forsaking the Bible is not the answer. Read it. Love it. Study it. I've got two very scriptural things that I do when I feel like there is a bit of an oppression upon me. We don't like in fundamentalism the word depression or depression, but it's a fact. It is. But the proper music will drive. If it cured Saul of the evil spirit that descended upon him and blackened his mind and blackened his emotions, if the proper music will and the Word of God, I promise you, if I can cure myself by taking some time with those two things. Now, it may come back and visit me, but I know what. Listen. Let me give you this. You got a medicine cabinet at home, right? And when you have certain symptoms, you go and get certain medications that'll take care of them symptoms. We ought to have a spiritual medicine cabinet. And we ought to figure out what we need to hear, what we need to listen to, or where we need to go, or what we need to go do to overcome those times. You got to get proactive. You got to get proactive. You know, you can't just surrender to it. There's too many people counting on you and too many people counting on me. I can't live sometimes where I want to go. I can't. And boy, there's days, I'm telling you. Hey, Brother Jerry, do you have just dark, oh, my goodness sakes. Yeah, I'm human like you. But what I've tried to do in 45 years is learn myself. And when I, listen, I get, I don't know if it's acid reflux or old-fashioned heartburn. Maybe they're the same thing. They just come up with new names for stuff. But I lived for years, and I didn't even know what that was. I never experienced it in my life. Here about 2 or 3 years ago, woke up in the middle of the night, thought I was dying of a heart attack. Got up, went in the living room. I was up for 3 straight hours. Just say, why didn't you go to the emergency room? Because real men. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Because I was stupid. I should have went to the. I really should have. And for the first time in my life, I knew what it was to have this. And I don't know what. Now I've got to be careful what I eat. Doesn't it stink getting old? Now, you know what? I'm done, but listen to me. I can right away now, because I have it from time to time, I can tell the very earliest symptoms of that coming on. There's a wonderful little pill called Tagamet. May not work for you. But if I catch it right at the beginning, by the way, this is something I don't have to take, but maybe once a month I'll have a little flare-up and I'll take one of that and it'll knock it out. And if I don't take it, then it'll progress, and for 3 or 4 hours I will be in absolute agony. Now, wait a minute. How come we can figure out that and we can't figure out ourselves enough spiritually and emotionally and mentally and even physically to know? I mean, I've told my wife before spiritually, say, honey, you know what? I'm going to have to go somewhere for a couple days and just sit under some preaching. Now listen to me, folks. Listen, by the way, I don't just do this for me. I try to do it for our staff. But don't ever, ever, ever get upset at your pastor from time to time going somewhere and just getting replenished. I don't do it so much for me as I do it for you, but I do it for both of us. I got to. I give out tons. I give out all the time. And if I don't, I'll self-destruct. And if I self-destruct, there's a bunch of people that's not going to get helped. Now, honestly. But there's time. You've got to learn yourself spiritually. You've got to learn what you need. I say, well, brother, I just can't always go. Oh, I can't either. And sometimes it's just a matter of getting a big old box out of my thing and grabbing 15 or 20 sermons that I know light me up and just listening to them throughout the day or listening to them in the car. Sometimes it's like, I just need to hear the scripture. I just need to let them run all day long because folks, and especially during demonic attacks, satanic oppression, so satanic attacks, and you've got to figure out when that's happening, but the devil can't stand the Bible. And Jesus defeated him with that. He can; it still works. And you've got to learn what works. Good music does work. You see, it really does. And so build yourself a spiritual medicine cabinet. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've got to spend for these scriptures that help us to learn ourselves and know ourselves. Help us, Lord. I pray for every single person here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray for those that are dealing with those thorn in the flesh type ailments. You've saw fit to allow them to have it. You've not chosen to heal them. I pray for extra grace for them, Lord. It's no fun to feel bad all the time. And Lord, there's all kinds of folks in this church that deal with things that we don't understand or know. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take a look at our care of the temple of God, our own personal temple of God, and then, Lord, help us to live our lives in such a way so we can positively and in a positive way impact people around us. And Lord, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Bible. We saved it for number 7, maybe appropriately so. That's your number. But it really is number 1. Far above the pleasant words, far above the merry heart, far above the good report, far above the staying away from jealousy and envy, far above the poor, foolish decisions we might make that would hurt the heart of our parents or the unvirtuous things we may say or do that hurt our spouse. Far above any of those things, Lord, the cure-all is the Bible. Help us to major on the Bible. Help us to fall in love with the Bible. Help us to listen to it, read it, memorize it, meditate on it. But he shall be like a tree, the Bible says, planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Lord, that verse follows, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us just to get the Bible back into our lives in full impact. I mean, fully saturated. Have it playing. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Carry it with us. It's our greatest tool, Lord, against the spiritual attacks. It's our greatest tool, Lord, I think, the greatest physical benefit. The greatest thing as far as, Lord, a real plus for our bodies, too. Pray these things in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.